Praise God. Well, we've been in a series we called Health to All Their Flesh. We've been in this series for a while, so let's turn over to Proverbs 4:20. This is our text for this. On Wednesday nights, we focus on faith and healing. Primarily, that's what, when we started Wednesday night services 4.5 years ago, we believe that the Lord directed us to focus specifically on faith and healing, and that's, we'll do that until we believe we need to go in a different direction. But these are two areas you can receive a constant dose in. You know, you're just keeping your faith where it needs to be, learning about faith, knowing how it works. It works the same in every area. And so if you know how faith principles operate, you can apply it in any area. And then knowing, being built up specifically for faith and health in our bodies, because God's will is for us to be healthy and whole on this earth. Our bodies are just a machine. They're just a highly advanced machine. You know, you read so much. It seems like there's all these headlines about robots. Anybody else notice that? I don't know. Maybe it's just, I just notice them. But, you know, robots come in, they're going to do this and that. And, okay, you know, they'll do. God knows everything that's going to happen, and we don't have to be overly concerned about different things. You know, science fiction has taken robots and all that stuff and had all these different scenarios. But they're just machines, and they're not nearly as advanced as, you know, what you're here in right now. Your body is very highly advanced. It's just a machine, though. It's, you know, it's an organic machine. It's not metal, but it's just, it's a machine nonetheless. And just like, you know, if your car is broken down, you can get around other ways, but if you're used to using your car, that hinders you from getting your job done. It would me. You know, I'm used to driving my car to work. If I come out and something's wrong with it, well, then I'm going to lose some time. I'm going to lose some money probably to get the thing fixed. It hinders me, and that's the same way it is with your body. We live in a body. This isn't the real you. It's part of you. But just like your car isn't you, you are in your car. Well, you're in your body, and you're a spirit. Everybody is a spiritual being. You have a soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. Your body's going to go back to the ground. When we die, we don't cease to exist. We're still here, but your body's going to go back into the ground. It's going to deteriorate. But when you leave your body, it's like a glove, a hand slipping out of a glove. You know, the glove isn't the real thing. That the glove doesn't animate itself. It's the hand in the glove that's animating the glove. Well, as soon as you take the hand out of the glove, the glove's limp. Well, that's the same way your body is. We're a spirit. We live in a body. And you know, people have talked about, I know Brother Hagin, he talks about when he his heart stopped beating when he was 16, 17 years old or whatever, and he came out of his body, he could see his body there. He's like, that's me. And he's looking down, but he's still conscious. These different people have had experiences outside of their bodies. It's our body, when it ceases to function, doesn't mean we cease to function. So when we're here on the earth, we need our body in working order. If we're going to get done what God has for us to do to its full potential, we need to have our bodies working. And so it's good to know what God's word says about health and healing, to know that it does talk about health and healing, because there's so many people that are confused about this, and they think God's against them in this area and trying to hurt them or trying to cause sickness. Well, that doesn't make any sense. He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, but I'm going to stick you in bed for the next 8 years. That doesn't make any sense. But people believe it. But it's not the word. We need to know what the word says, and we need to have it fresh. We need to have it fresh in our consciousness for it to be alive to us, for it to be vital, for it to work. Amen. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Let's go there. This is exactly what we've been talking about. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." And keep reading. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you." Now, we've spent several weeks on this. We're not going to rehash everything we've said. We kind of build on this. So if you didn't hear some of the messages, please go back, listen to them on the website, and go forward. And then you'll be caught up with us. But just really quickly, just to kind of hook up with where we were, we're just going to read through these verses. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." So give attention to the word of God. "Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." See, this is something continual. "For they are life to those who find them, their health to all their flesh." That word health means medicine. It doesn't say the words are like medicine. It says they are medicine. They are health to your flesh. It says to keep your heart with all diligence. That means to do something about it. Keep your heart, because out of it spring the issues of life. So God's words are full of life, health, medicine, and they act like and healing, and they act like medicine. He said his words are medicine. So we talked about last time that we need to know how to take that medicine. If his words are medicine, we need to know how to take it. We need to know how to appropriate it for our bodies. And this is how you take God's medicine. Verse 20 and 21 tell us how to do it. Number one, verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words." So number one, give attention to my words. Number two, incline your ears to the word of God, which is his medicine. Number three, don't let these words depart from your eyes. And number four, keep them in the midst of your heart. So number one, give attention to them. It may seem simple, but like we've said, so many people are giving attention to other things. And when we let our attention drift, it's easy to do. Life can be really busy. You know, this time of year, there's a lot of extra things. So life can be really busy. But we still need to give attention. We need to give attention. We need to focus on what the word says. Incline your ear to my sayings. That means you're focusing, you're inclining your ear to what he's saying. That means you're focusing on what he's saying, not keeping your attention on everything else. See, if you're inclining your ear to something, that means you're blocking out something else. I'm trying to listen to you. No, you know, what are you saying? I'm trying to focus on what you're saying. We're supposed to do that with God's word. Verse 21, don't let them depart from your eyes. So don't just, this isn't something we do once and then let it drop. We keep them in front of our eyes continually. It doesn't mean 24/7 you have the Word of God right in front of your eyes. It means continually keep yourself reminded of what the Word says. And then number four, keep them in the midst of your heart. Get them down in your heart. It doesn't do you any good just to have them in your head. This is not intellectual. Did you hear me? That's where people miss it sometimes. That's one of the things they miss. They try to approach the Word of God intellectually instead of spiritually. And the word says that these are spiritually discerned. You have to come to God believing. You have to come to God by faith. And then the Word of God opens up to you. People say, well, the Bible, you know, unbelievers say that the Bible doesn't make any sense to me. Well, it won't until you receive it by faith, receive what Jesus did, and then all this, then the Bible starts to make sense. But when people try to approach it intellectually and try to say, well, prove it to me, I want to know, and break it down, and have an intellectual argument. I mean, God is not about, he's not telling us to turn our brains off. I mean, he is the highest power in the universe. He knows more than, I mean, comparing what he knows to what any individual man or mankind as a whole, that there is no comparison. Our body of knowledge is nothing compared to what he knows. Religion isn't dumbing things down. Religion isn't just blind faith. It's faith in what God has done and taken his word over what we can see, feel. You know, I just read it. We've talked about it. Men's understanding is changing all the time. I mean, it amazes me how often I'll use an example like this, and then just a few months later, it changes again. I just saw a headline. Maybe you saw it again. So red meat now is no longer bad for your heart. I mean, seriously, how many times does it change? It's a joke. I mean, I've said it, and I'm not trying to make fun of people. People are doing the best they can, but don't sell something as fact and like it's the end-all, be-all when it changes every 5-10 years. I mean, how many? You don't have to live that long to see. I mean, almost everything was either bad for you or good for you. Salt was bad, but it's good, and it's bad, it's good. Red meat, cut it out, just eat chicken, then, oh, wait, no, it's good. Fat? I mean, they're talking about, well, no, actually, you know, it's okay to have butter and cream and everything. But you're supposed to cut all that stuff was going to cause heart disease. It's sad. I'm not trying to make fun of it, but it's sad when people sell it as an authority when the fact is, just admit we don't know a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff that's been here for a long time is actually okay. And this is where people mess up, is because when you think we were just came out of nothing and we evolved, that means you think we're as far as we've ever been. And so maybe what they ate 2,000 years ago, well, they were just ignorant, and now we know better. But if you realize that God created men and that actually they used to live a lot longer than anybody on the face of the earth now, and the stuff he put on the earth, I mean, just go read Genesis. He said after the flood, he said, now the beast will be food for you. He flat out said it, that you're going to need some of this. It's okay. And he set out things that have been here for millennia, and it's not new, and people have been doing fine. You can overdo anything. You can overeat anything. You can, you know, drink. You can have too much of this, too much of that. But if you use moderation, a lot of the stuff, you know, that's been here for a long time, it's okay. And a lot of the new junk people come up with, that's where you got to really watch it, because this is the new thing until they find a study 15 years from now that it's actually deadly. You don't want to be one of the people that's the guinea pigs. How'd I get off on that? I was saying you don't want to intellectualize it. Because God knows more than anybody, so don't get into, well, arguing about is God real, or you don't need to get in a debate with somebody, because you know what? If they're trying to approach God intellectually, they're never going to get there anyway. You're going to have to take a step of faith and believe that what God said is true, that Jesus is the Son of God, and then things start really opening up to you. But anyway, we are talking about how to take God's medicine. Number one, attend to his word. Number two, incline your ear to his sayings. Number three, do not let them depart from your eyes. Number four, keep them in the midst of your heart. All these instructions imply a continual ongoing action, not something we do one time or every once in a while. In the natural, we said this last time, suppose you were sick last year. And let's say the doctor prescribed a certain kind of medicine for you to take. Let's say you had antibiotics or something. Then suppose you got sick again this year with the same illness and your doctor prescribed the same kind of medicine, and you wouldn't go and tell him, oh no, doctor, I can't take that medicine, I took it last year. Then what are you there for? Well, I took it last year, I'm good. Well, obviously there's a disconnect. It's not working for you. But you wouldn't tell them I took it last year. But people do this as Christians with God all the time. They say, well, I already know that. I listened to a sermon on healing, therefore I know all about it. And that's not the way the Word of God works. It is continually putting the Word in us and keeping ourselves full. If you're saying, well, I heard all that before. If you ever catch yourself saying this, I already know that. I've heard it before. It's a sure sign it's not alive in you the way it ought to be right now. Mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
You've let it slip.
Yes.
If you find, well, I've heard that, I'm going to check out, I know all that. You've let it slip, because if it's alive to you, you're excited about it. Mm-hmm. Now, you'll be saying, yeah, that's it. And I want to hear more about it. And when we are like, well, I've heard it before, then we've let it slip. But if you say, well, I've heard that before, it's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about continually keeping ourselves full. And this is how the Word of God works for us. The medicine, it's meant to be taken continually. You stay strong. The faith, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not having heard it. Now let's turn over to Matthew 8. We turned to this scripture last week, but let's turn there. That's kind of to get us in the same place. We did touch on some of this last week, but this is where I want to focus on. Matthew 8, verse 5. Gooing. They're funny. People on the recorder are going to wonder what I'm talking about. There's a baby cooing in the background. Matthew 8, verse 5. Everybody there? It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now skip down to verse 13. He says some things about Israel there. Verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now Jesus called the centurion's faith great faith. He said, this is great faith. I have not seen this type of faith around. So what's great faith? The answer is found in verse 8. Let's read it. It says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak only a word and my servant will be healed. Great faith is simply faith in God's word. It's taking God at his word. That's great faith. He said it, so I believe it. Great faith is just believing God. In the face of circumstances, in the face of anything contradictory, it's having the approach, the belief, that if God said it, it's true, period. That's simple, isn't it? This will cut through a lot of religious junk, because some people, well, I have great faith. Well, the Bible says this. Well, right there. Just found out. Don't really believe God. Does God mean what he said? Is the Bible true? Does the Bible mean what it says in every instance? Well, that's an allegory. This kind of gets to what we were just talking about a little bit ago. That's why you can't approach it just intellectually, because there's some things you don't understand, and I don't understand. Yeah. You can't explain it all. And this is where a lot of the world's just flat missing it. because we get to the point where we think we have to prove everything, and there are some things you can't prove. And you can't prove it by your circumstance or natural conditions. And you can't bottle it up. And people miss walking by faith because they let their head get in the way. Now, I'm not talking about not being, I'm not talking about dumbing things down. And you have to understand, in our world today, there is a whole thing that's an attack on true faith. And somehow acting like if you believe something, it's really an attack against believing something, and it's putting all believing in the same bucket and just shaking it up. And to believe something means you don't have any real proof or facts for it, but you believe it, and, you know, some people say, well, everybody's got to believe something, and all the religions, they're just the same, and you just believe. They're believing something, but they can't prove it, and that's just faith. That's really dumbing down what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is having faith in the Word of God. In other words, you trust God enough that if He said it, then you believe it's true, regardless if you understand it or not or can explain it. We're not saying it contradicts what is real, because it's ultimately real. What we're saying is you may not be able to see certain things and you may not be able to understand. That's a lot different. If you knew and could see the way God sees, there would be no problem. Anything you think, well, gosh, that's illogical. Why would I believe that? Why would I do this? If God were telling you to do something, let's say it was by His Spirit, He was telling you to do something, you felt this is what, and He was truly telling you, and you looked at your circumstance and say, "That's why should I do that? There's no reason in the natural or in natural circumstances I should do that." Well, if you could see the way He saw, He can see what's coming, what already has happened in different areas, and He can see exactly what you need to do. And if you trust Him, you'll say, "Lord, You said it, I'm going to do it." Mm-hmm. And there are a whole lot of things that, if you read the Word, see, He, Jesus, Himself, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Matthew 8:17 says that. How did that work? How is it that He was able to, the Son of the living God, came to earth, and He, by taking those stripes on His back and shedding His blood, because He did shed blood, anybody seen the Passion of the Christ? That's probably understating it. If you haven't seen that movie, you should see that movie. What Jesus took. But when He was getting beat to a pulp, when His flesh was being ripped off, He was paying the price so that His broken body paid the price so that you don't have to be sick. Now, can you explain that? You can break it all down and explain how every person that is going to live on this earth has already had their sickness and disease paid for because He bore it on Himself. How did He bear the sickness of the whole world, people that haven't even died? How did He broke the curse. He paid for it. If you can explain the ins and outs of it, what happened? The Bible says He became sin. The Bible says He, by His stripes, we were healed. You were. Yeah. Why? Because He took the penalty. He took the penalty for sin, which involves sickness, all forms of death. Death in all its forms are the penalty for sin. But if you are free from sin, you deserve no penalty. You deserve no sickness. You deserve no death of any type. So sickness has no hold on you. How do you receive that? You receive it by faith. You receive it by believing what He said is true and saying, "This is the way it'll be in my body." Because we have authority over what happens in our bodies. You know this in the natural. If somebody tries to touch your body going through the, you know, in a inappropriate fashion, going through airport security, are you going to let them know, or are you just going to say, "Well, okay, whatever"? Huh? Who has authority over you? You. Well, it's the same way. If there is sickness attacking your body, now you can get down to all the nitty-gritty of what the sickness is and put it under a microscope. You could have done that back 2,000 years when Jesus, you know, they may not have had the medical knowledge. Everything was there, but you could have labeled every one of the diseases and every one of the ailments you see in the Bible as something. They would have a name for it today. There is a curse in the earth. There is sickness in the earth. But if we know what the Bible says, it says that we're redeemed from that curse. The Bible said that Jesus took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses on Him. So that means we're free from it. But so when we come into contact with sickness on this earth, and you don't have to go very far, you can just walk through the mall. People coughing, there's just germs everywhere. Well, you have a natural immune system that God's put a dose of His healing power just in you that fights off sickness and disease. But all His power is a super dose of that same healing power to speed it up and to drive any sickness out. Well, how does that become real in your life? By knowing what the Word of God says and standing on it and say, that's true. No sickness has any authority over me. What does that mean? It doesn't have the right to be on my body. I don't care. It's not a natural. See, here's where the rubber meets the road. People have it in their head that if certain germs or viruses come into contact with your body, if your immune system, if you're strong and know who God is, your immune system is going to be built up, for one thing. But it's like it's just a foregone conclusion. If this thing comes into contact with your body, certain things are going to happen, you're going to get sick. That's the way the mind works. Well, this is what happens, and this is what we can show you under a microscope. So if it comes in contact with you, and you know the Word of God says that this has no right on my body. The Bible says He Himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. The Bible says He heals all our diseases. The Bible says He is the Lord that heals you. The Bible said He is the Lord of your physician. The Bible says He will take all sickness and disease away from you. Exodus 23:25. If you know that, and you have a symptom of something, and you feel like you're starting to get sick, you have a choice. Well, I'm sick. This is it. I'm sick. Can't do anything about it. Or you can say, wait a minute, Jesus took this. I don't have to take it. Right. So now what are you going to believe? So right here, this is exactly what we're talking about. What did the centurion do? He said, you just speak the word. You speak the word. This happened just as real as I'm standing in front of you. Jesus was speaking to this man. This guy came up and said, my servant, he needs to be healed. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, you don't have to come. Just say the word, and he'll be healed. He just said, and he said, I know how this works. I'm under authority. My commander tells me, do something, I do it. I tell my men to do something, they do it. You just speak the word, and it's got to go. He knew who was in command here. And Jesus said, whoa, I have not seen this. I have not seen somebody just say, you just recognize the way this works. But he's showing exactly the way it does work. So how do we know that what he said, how do we make that real in our lives? It's by believing what he said about healing. We're talking about healing. If he said he bore our sicknesses and took our infirmities, if you read in Psalm 91 that no plague shall come near your dwelling, if you read in Psalm 103 that he heals all your diseases, if you read in Mark, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, then if you see sickness, if you have a choice whether to believe what he said or to believe what you see and feel and what is being experienced all around you. Right? You have a choice. What would the centurion do? If it's written, that's the same as Jesus saying it. Yes. You said it, therefore it's done. Do you see? This is what we're talking about. This is great faith. We're talking about his word is health to all our flesh. You guys with me? His word is health to our, his what? Tell me, his what is health to our flesh?
Word.
So if he said it, it's health to us. We take it in. We believe it, that what he said, if we act on what he said and say, that's true for me, then it becomes active in our life. If we say, well, I don't know. I don't see it, man. I feel like going to bed. I have a headache. I feel like going, you know, getting sick. I want to just lay down. Well, I'm not saying you deny what is going on. You say, wait a minute, but Jesus said this. So what am I going to believe? This is where it butts up. And, you know, I remember, you guys, if you've ever listened to Andrew Womack, you probably heard him tell the story. When he first got a hold of what the Word of God says about healing, yeah, he got sick more than he ever had been. And he said, you know, he would get sick with, it'd be a flu or a cold or something, and he said he would be going around his house on his knees, pushing the Bible around with his nose because he was so weak, and saying, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And he said he knew this wasn't going to kill him. He wasn't dealing with something that was fatal. And he was saying, I'm not moving. This is what the Bible says. And this thing, I don't care. I'm going to go right through it, but I am not going to give up. This is what the Word says, and I'm not going to move. I don't care that I feel sick as a dog. And he did. He felt horrible. To him, it looked like, you're an idiot. You're believing some lie, right? It's not working. You just took what some preacher said, and it doesn't work. You're sick. But this is exactly what every person will have to come up against. You're going to believe God's word? You're going to believe what you're feeling? You're going to believe circumstance? What you're feeling? Don't believe. Don't even think you won't get tested. You know what the enemy? There is an enemy. I'm not saying he personally attacks you with certain things. You don't have to have him. You just walk around. Like I said, there is enough germs in the air to get on you and to kill you 1,000 times over. You're going to run up against some stuff, and we have to know, what do I believe? And yeah, that's going to come in your face, and you're going to have a test to believe. Do I believe what the Word of God says, or do I believe what my body's telling me and what every other person would say? Well, you're just sick, dude. Get over it. Just right, let it run its course. Well, sure, it's not. Maybe that thing's not going to kill you. But there are other things that could kill you.
Yes.
But it's the principle's the same.
There
are things that you deal with that, the doctor will look at you and say, we can't do anything for you. We don't have, it's not a cold, it's not a flu. We don't have the equipment, we don't have the knowledge, we don't know how to cure this. With everything we know, you have to die. We don't have the knowledge to help you. What's the cure then? Same way it was with the centurion. The word is still true, and God's word, whether men have the medical knowledge to cure an ailment, God's power will drive out any sickness, period. Amen. This medicine has no limit.
Amen.
You cannot overdose on it. It has no side effects. Amen. And it will cure anything.
Amen.
How does it work? It works by faith. What's faith? You take God at his word and say, Lord, your word's true. I'm going to grab onto it like a bulldog and I will not let go. I believe what you said in spite of what I feel, in spite of it. Your word's true. This has got to leave. You're not sitting there earning something from God, trying to pass some test like, okay, have I done enough? No, God is on your side. He's already told you what he's provided in his word. But circumstances will try to beat it out of you, and you have to say, nope, I believe you, Lord. And that gives him the legal right. It gives the power of God the ability to work in your body because you have authority over your body. You say, nope, what God said is going to work. What God said is true in my body. This thing has to leave, period. Has to go. Amen. Does it have to do with what you feel? What is it we're talking? Did the centurion have to say, boy, I really feel like today's the day, I feel like my servant's going to get healed. He didn't say that. He said, if you say it, it'll happen, period. It doesn't matter what I say, what I feel. You say it, just like if my commander tells me to do something, I'm going to do it whether I feel like it or not. Because it has to happen. And the guys under me, they're going to do something. And if you say it, Jesus, my servant's going to be healed. That's where we have to get to. Jesus, you said it. That's the way it is in my body, period. I don't care. Like we read in Psalms on Sunday, I don't care if there's 1,000 dying over here, 10,000 on this side, it's not going to touch me. Amen.